The world's most widely used drug is delivered in countless ways, in small cups and big gulp cups, in green teas, aspirin, ritual drinks, and in children's chocolate bars. Writer T.R. Reid and photographer Bob Sacha spent a year studying caffeine, where it resides, what it does, how it sustains our lives. Their photo essay is the cover story of the January National Geographic magazine. T.R. Reid joins us in our studios. Thanks very much for being with us. First off, can I get you anything to drink?
Oh, I better have coffee, don't you think?
Was exactly my thought.
Yes.
How does caffeine work, can we say?
There are many theories about this, but the most common theory now is that it blocks adenosine. You know what adenosine is?
No,
this is sort of a natural sleeping pill that is generated in your body.
Yeah.
And caffeine is believed to be an adenosine blocker, so it stops the natural sleeping pill and keeps you awake. It works.
Yeah. What does it do to us? I mean, because it would superficially seem to be more than just stopping us from sleeping.
It's generally benign. It makes you burn fat faster, and therefore it increases physical activity. As a matter of fact, both the Olympic Committee and the NCAA have limits on how much caffeine an athlete can have in his body. So it has that physical benefit. Another physical benefit is it's called, are you ready for this?
Yeah.
It's an analgesic adjuvant, which means it makes aspirin work better. It makes most medicines work better.
Which is why we find it in aspirin.
Yeah, you look at the enhanced power of Bufferin or Bayer and look on the back, and it's aspirin with caffeine. That's what it is. And then it increases mental acuity. The tests show, particularly on repetitive tasks like entering data or using a keyboard or counting, you give somebody caffeine and she's going to be faster and more accurate than the person without it.
What are some of the more surprising places you found, surprising caffeine delivery systems that you discovered?
It's in many, many over-the-counter drugs. It's in face creams. It's in nylons. You can put these nylons on, which you're supposed to get your legs buzzing or something, and it may work. And all over Europe, you can buy a pill called Plus, which we used to call Nodos. Yeah. And people don't just take it at 2 in the morning when they have a test the next day. They take it in the afternoon to get going.
Did you drink a lot of caffeine researching the story?
I drank a ton of caffeine researching the story because National Geographic, they do things right. You know, they really research. They do a lot of work. And we built this story not so much. We did coffee and tea and chocolate. Mm-hmm. But we built it about the world's newest, most popular caffeine delivery system, which is these energy drinks, Red Bull.
Yeah, right. Which you had clubbers in London talking about.
Absolutely.
Taking it at 4 a.m.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, yeah. Vodka Bull, Sham Bull is champagne and Red Bull. That's what they drink to get going. Mm-hmm. And the biggest consumption of Red Bull is between about 4 and 6 a.m. These kids who are dancing, they start to crash about 4 in the morning, and they switch to Vodka Bull. And here's my reporting technique. This won't surprise you at all. I would stand around in these clubs, and at 4 o'clock when the kids went to buy the Vodka Bull, I'd say, I'm buying this round of drinks if you'll talk to me. A fairly simple technique. Mm-hmm. The problem is, if you're drinking Red Bull or Vodka Bulls at 4:30 in the morning, you can't go to sleep. You go home when the club closes at 7 and you can't sleep. And then at midnight the next night, I'm lined up for the club again. Exhausting assignment. Nobody seems to feel any sympathy for me, but I'm telling you, it really wore me up. Giving my all for the profession, dancing at 4 in the morning and drinking liquor. It's tough, but, you know, we've got these things have to be done.
I'm wiping a deeply caffeinated tear out of my eye.
Yeah.
Is caffeine addictive in the sense that if you stop cold turkey, you will necessarily have repercussions, or you will be drawn back into the abyss of addiction?
Yes, it's addictive in that way. Withdrawal symptoms, the most common one is a headache. If you drink coffee every day and you miss it for a couple of days, you may have a headache, maybe severe, maybe mild. The thing about it is, if you swear off caffeine or really sharply reduce your intake, within 6 or 7 days, all the caffeine is washed from your body. You can cut caffeine. You then have to be pretty cautious, as I say, because there's so much of it floating around our society. But you can cut it without severe repercussions. And some people say that we all should, that the reason you need that cup of coffee in the morning is because you're having withdrawal from yesterday's caffeine dose and you just need to replenish your system. But you know what? I think, Scott, part of that is the ritual.
Sure.
You know, I read the paper in the morning with a bagel and coffee, and it's part of my life. It orders my life. I like it. And that's another key factor, is the rituals humans have built over caffeine drinks over the centuries.
T.R. Reid of The Washington Post, his photo essay on caffeine, produced with photographer Bob Sacha, appears in the January National Geographic magazine.
Fine.
Thank you.
Excellent.